Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
What's going on, everybody? Nick here from the Private Labeler Show at privatelabelershow.com, bringing to you live and direct episode number 15 of the Private Labeler Show, where we're helping 1,000 amazing entrepreneurs start an online business and maybe even quit their job in 2016 so they can start living life on their terms. So again, if you're one of those people out there that is desperately looking for other opportunities in life when it comes to your job and all things related, you're just kind of looking for a way out and you see potentially Amazon and private labeling as an option, this is the right podcast and right show for you. So welcome aboard. We are ecstatic that you are here giving us a little bit of your time today and super excited to deliver an amazing episode for you. So in this episode, I actually will be playing an interview that I did with a very special guest by the name of Manuel Bekvar. And before we get into that, I actually just wanted to read an iTunes review that came in. So as you know, I've been getting in the habit of trying to read some of the reviews that you guys have been leaving on iTunes for the show. So I greatly appreciate everybody that's done that to this point. Thank you so much. High five to you. Kudos to you. And I'm just going to kind of quickly read a specific review that I came across. So this one is from Soul Bebe, and it says, I found the show while I searched around the web. The information was way better than I expected, especially I like to check out the reference information. He says he wanted to help 1,000 people in 2016. He can count me in. So thanks, Soul Bebe. I appreciate that. Glad that you're on board and excited about the show. So thanks for taking the time and the effort to leave that iTunes review. You are awesome. So I do have, you know, a lot of other reviews that I could read as well, but I'll kind of just limit that to, you know, about one per podcast. So if you haven't left a review and you are a fan of iTunes, please leave an awesome review, and there's a good chance I'll probably read that off on a future episode. And as well, make sure you subscribe on iTunes and also Stitcher. If you also like YouTube, we're on YouTube as well. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please go to privatelabelershow.com and simply click subscribe. And I'll just simply notify you anytime I have new content, new information, or a new episode coming out. I'll just kind of let you know. I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of junk that you don't want, I promise. So in this episode, everybody, I talk with Manuel Bekvar from Import Dojo at importdojo.com. So if you're not familiar with who Manuel is, well, Manuel is basically a walking encyclopedia of all things sourcing, importing, factory shipping, Amazon, so on and so forth. He's just got a vast amount of experience, you know, over a decade's experience in the game. And he's somebody that's kind of been boots on the ground. I mean, he lives in Hong Kong and he's out there. He's pounding the pavement. He's visiting factories. And he, like I said, he's just a wealth of knowledge and information. That's why I'm super excited to have him on this podcast, just so I can kind of pick his brain a little bit and hopefully give you guys some benefit to that by the questions that I was asking him. So he currently sells on Amazon. He's got a brand, and he also teaches others through his Import Dojo course and website over at importdojo.com. So I am, in fact, one of his students. Last summer, I had a friend of mine refer me to Manuel, and this is a friend of mine that I was talking a lot with about importing and, you know, private labeling and selling on Amazon, and he actually referred me to Manuel. So right off the bat, I was firing away tons of questions at Manuel, probably irritating him a little bit, and no, just kidding. And he was extremely helpful, extremely beneficial in me just trying to get knowledge on a lot of things, especially things with, like, you know, dealing with the factories in China, dealing with shipping, dealing with inspections, all those kinds of things that a lot of the courses out there kind of just gloss over. So he has tons of knowledge in that, and his Import Dojo course is awesome. It covers so much stuff that I think is just super valuable, especially if you're serious about taking your Amazon business to the next level. Just a lot of stuff that you need to know to be a top flight importer and seller. So, all right, let's get this party started. Let's get it moving. Here is the interview with Manuel Bekfar. All right, welcome to episode number 15, everybody, of the Private Labeler Show. As mentioned in the introduction, we have a very special guest in attendance with us today. His name is Manuel Bekfar, and he's coming to us all the way from, actually, Thailand. I thought he was in Hong Kong today, but I guess not. So welcome and thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to join us, Manuel.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me. Pretty much in Thailand today, but back in Hong Kong in a couple of weeks for the entire exhibition season and going to see factories and stuff. But yeah, moving in between Hong Kong and Thailand these days. It's more convenient.
Sounds exciting. I haven't visited either, and it's definitely on the agenda within the next few years. So I'm looking forward to that. So why don't you tell some of the listeners or who's ever listening to this, the audience of the Private Labeler Show, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I did mention some stuff in the introduction to kind of tee things up, but why don't you just kind of give us a breakdown of some of your experience in the industry when it comes to importing and selling on Amazon and, you know, kind of just the whole ball of wax. So why don't you just kind of throw it out there for a minute or two and just let everybody know who you are.
Sure. Try to keep it short. born Austrian, I moved to Hong Kong in 2005. I was actually sent as an intern back then, and it was supposed to be for 6 months. I was working at a DIY store in Austria, and well, they sent me as the intern to Hong Kong in their buying office, and yeah, again, supposed to be for 6 months only, handling a couple of projects, but you know, fell in love with the city. There was also obviously a woman back then, so yeah, kind of stayed in Hong Kong ever since. I've been doing a couple of different jobs. All of them were more or less based in retail, sales, and purchasing. I used to work for for three different companies. One was the buying office that I was sent to. Then I was working in between for two different factories. So I also gained experience on the manufacturing side in China. I was mainly working on sales and purchasing also, and the last job I held before I started my own company was back at this buying office, and I was handling products in the electronics category, household category, kitchen items, lighting, solar, some garden products, and I was the product manager for the retailers in Europe that the office worked for. And going on trips to China, working with factories on a daily basis, developing assortments for the buyers in Europe. And started my own company in early 2014, which is called Mandarin Gear. It's a consumer electronics company. What I mainly do is I pick products from the factory in China. I improve them. I change the components inside. I add a nice packaging. I private label them if you want, but I improve the product also in general, and I sell those to retailers in Europe under my label, but also under the retailer's label. And in early 2015, I started importdojo.com, which is now my main line of work, if you want. It's a site where people can inform themselves about importing from China, selling online, selling on Amazon. And all the ins and outs, the pitfalls when it comes to importing from China, you can get on my site. You can learn it there either on the free ebook or also on the blogs. But I also provide a course, I think, which we will talk about later also.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk about that. So if you're out there listening right now, everybody, Manuel's got just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all things importing, sourcing, dealing with factories, shipping, the whole nine yards, selling on Amazon. So you just kind of heard a little bit about, about him there. And I'm sure there's a lot more that he could expand off of, but definitely tons of knowledge here on this interview here right now, guys. So very, very fortunate that you're here, because a lot of our listeners or people might be listening to this sometime in the future. You know, they might be just getting started on private labeling, and they're talking to factories or picking their first product. And there's definitely a lot to learn and a lot to know. And when it comes to dealing with factories and you're dealing with maybe the Chinese culture, and there's so many different things that confuse people and might scare people away. So what I wanted to do, Manuel, is just kind of ask you some questions that I think would help some people just kind of getting started in the private label game, help them out and hopefully answer a few of their questions. So if you don't mind, is that cool if I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So with all your knowledge, and you have tons of it, more than the average person selling, it seems like on Amazon, what are your top tips for finding a great supplier?
That's a very good question. I think the first thing you have to do is you have to be very clear and concise when you inquire with a supplier. Now, first of all, I think the best way for me personally is go to the factories and go to the exhibitions where you actually meet the factory, you meet the person that you'll be dealing with in the future, and you kind of develop a gut feeling for this person or for this factory. Well, that's for me, but I know that many buyers from overseas can't really come to China, or they can't really go to China yet, so they look online. Now, what they do is they go to the site that everyone knows. We're talking about Alibaba.com, and they heard horror stories, but they're not really sure on how to navigate around Alibaba. So what I recommend is when you go on Alibaba, that you prepare yourself with a clear inquiry. You have to use the filters that are available on Alibaba, which are, I think we have Trade Assurance there, we have Gold Supplier, and we have third-party assessment by a third-party company. Well, these are good filters, but you still need to do further background check. So when you email once you've filtered at least the suppliers out who, for example, do not have Gold membership or do not have Trade Assurance, you still have to do your background check with the supplier. Now, what you essentially do is you give them a couple of questions that will help you analyze his willingness to work with you, but also his background. Now, for example, you could ask him, who are the customers you're working with? Which markets do you sell to already? Or, for example, which certifications do you provide for your existing items? Now, if you get, for example, the answer of, well, we don't work with any US customer, or we don't work with any Amazon seller, or we don't have any certificates, this is an indication for you that you move along right away. You actually want to work with suppliers who have experience in working in your market with your certification or quality requirements. Go ahead. You want to say something?
No, I mean, that's great. So essentially what you're saying is just make sure that they have experience that you can kind of gauge and judge. And you're obviously in a unique situation because you can go to these factories and check them out, whereas a lot of people, they're in various countries all over the world. They're not necessarily going to be the boots on the ground or have that ability. So what you're saying is just using the filters on Alibaba first and foremost, and using some basic questions to figure out who they're already working with, right? That'll kind of tell you first and foremost whether or not you want to proceed at all with that conversation, right?
Exactly. I think when you talk to a supplier in China, and many people are actually afraid or scared of talking to them, it's nothing different than talking to a friend, really. You just have to ask questions. You get to know that person. You develop a feeling. Is this person really interested in working with me? And, if there are some, like, wary answers, like, sorry, we don't have certificate, but we can do it, or we don't really work with any customer in your country, but we can try it, this is a sign or a red flag for me that, okay, this guy has no experience in the market that I'm working in, and I really want to work with a customer, with a supplier who has experience dealing with my sort of requirements. Because imagine if it's already difficult in the beginning to discuss with him certain requirements or deals, imagine how it would be when you actually place the order and have to instruct every little detail to the supplier. And maybe you're a beginner yourself, and you may not know everything in the beginning yourself either. So you want to rely on a supplier who has experience working in your markets and experience in your requirements.
That's great. And then you mentioned that most people tend to kind of side on Alibaba just because it's the big name. I know that you're pretty fond of a few other websites. So what might those be that a listener can say, well, what other options are there other than Alibaba? I mean, what else should they be looking for, other websites?
I think you know the one I'm very fond of. It's called globalsources.com. It's a Hong Kong company. They are actually run by Hong Kongese people, not to sound any racist or anything, but people in Hong Kong, you know, their English is better, maybe their education is even better. But put that aside, the company is really run by a great group of people, especially I know one person personally, Peter, who is the CIO. He actually helps a lot in the Amazon communities. He's in my Facebook group. He's in a lot of different other Facebook groups, and he's giving always solid advice. So that's one thing. But what I really like about Global Sources is that they're not just a database for suppliers where you can find products. They're also a database of knowledge and of trends, of new products. Like they have e-magazines, they have a couple of pages on their site where you can find top-selling products or newest developments. They'll provide you with a buyer support, meaning that you can actually email them a question, or you can email them, look guys, I'm looking for this particular product but I can't find it, and then they'll get their experts on the product looking it up for you for free actually. Plus on top of that, you know, they have exhibitions. Alibaba does not do any exhibitions. They're just a website. Well, they do a lot of other stuff too, but in terms of buyer support, Global Sources really is the place to go, especially, like I said, shows where you can actually meet the suppliers, see the products by yourself, no need to order samples, and they're pretty organized too. I used to exhibit at the show. Last time I exhibited was in April 2015, and you know, even becoming one of the suppliers on their site, you have to go through three different verification processes. One was I had to provide my company business registration. I had to they did a credit check on me, and they came to my office and verified this guy actually has an office here in Hong Kong. He works with the factories in China, and they verified my business. You know, Alibaba doesn't really do that. They do send like the questions to the person in question, but they don't really completely verify it like Global Sources does. So you have a bigger safety net on Global Sources, that suppliers really are more professional and have been thoroughly checked before being allowed to list, to being listed on their site.
Yeah, that's so great. Yeah, that's, I remember you telling me that like pretty early on. They said, hey, there are other options out there, you can check out Global Sources, and kind of the main bullet point was that the people that you're going to work with on there are a little bit more vetted by Global Sources versus Alibaba, just kind of figuring things out and being almost the wild, wild west, where they have, you know, they don't have problems that much with scamming these days. I know they probably did a lot more in the past with suppliers or factories that you work with that just didn't have the standards and quality. But I remember you telling me that Global Sources is another good bet. So if you're listening out there and you're looking for other options other than Alibaba, check out globalsources.com. So is there anything else you want to add on Global Sources, or?
There's so much I could say. Just check it out. See for yourself. There's so many different sites in there. Also, they have one thing I should mention. Maybe there is a site within their site called smartchinasourcing.com, which is like pretty much like my site, where there's a lot of blogs from different kind of experts from the industry. Just a lot of knowledge and wealth of knowledge on their side. Just check it out.
Okay. And then, what would you say as far, I mean, you've negotiated a lot and talked with a lot of, suppliers, factories over your years in the industry, in the business, for somebody that's just kind of getting started, what would you recommend, or how should they go about negotiating, better pricing? Because, I mean, obviously when you go on, like, let's say Alibaba.com, you see kind of some generalized things like a minimum order quantity. You see some general prices. And usually if you're just getting started, they're just going to throw their basic list price out at you. But is there any way that you could tell the listeners and the audience how they could maybe get some better pricing?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few tips I could give. One thing first, the pricing on Alibaba, I found it never to be true. I don't know why, but every time, let's say you inquire with the supplier on Alibaba, let's say they for a certain product it says $5, and then they email you back with, you know, whatever, $7.50, and you'll be asking him, well, what's the price difference to, why is it $5 on your site, and now you quote me $7.50, and they'll always give you some sort of excuse, and they'll always find a way. So it's kind of a click and bait also on Alibaba. So never trust the prices there. But having said that, it does give you a good indication of the price range. So when you inquire with the supplier and you're not happy with the price, or it doesn't really match with your idea of, you know, profits and landing price, try, for example, to inquire about different quantities. Let's say we're talking about iPhone cover. Let's say I'm actually interested in purchasing 1,000 pieces, but I want to know the range of the price. So I'll probably give the supplier an email, say, look, I'm interested in purchasing this iPhone cover, and please give me a price of 3,000, 5,000, and maybe 10,000. Then you get an idea of what the price range could be, and eventually you don't even have to order these quantities. You'll just stick with your quantity that you were initially comfortable with, but you know the range of prices where the supplier can go. So let's say the 5,000 price would be $3 and the 10,000 price would be $2.50. So maybe you can try to negotiate with the supplier. Look, I'm only willing to place an order for 5,000 pieces or maybe even 3,000 pieces. But since you know the price that he's willing to go down to already, just tell, look, this is my first trial order. If this goes well, I'm going to place larger orders. I'll be sending you maybe other customers as well. Let's cooperate, and can you give me the price of the 10,000 pieces for now, you know? That works. He won't probably give you that price, but maybe you meet somewhere in the middle. In between the 5,000 and the 10,000 price, but you'll still maybe try it with a lower quantity anyway.
Okay, that makes sense.
Another thing is, if you're really like maybe a geek, you can look into raw material prices. Well, you have to do a bit of a background check too, but let's say a product is heavily reliant on a certain raw material. And you've heard in the news, let's say, for example, oil, right? The oil prices dropped significantly in the last year. And if your supplier is, and let's say your product is made out of plastic, which means oil is involved in making the plastic, then you could actually say to the supplier, look, you've been quoting me this price for 6 months, but the oil prices dropped significantly. So should the product price should drop as well, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I know oil prices and just metals and raw materials, you'll kind of hear about that. It's usually big news, like when something really fluctuates, right?
Exactly. So, you know, bring it to the supplier's attention. It's just probably trying to give you the same price as always, but, you know, just don't blindly accept it. Try to find ways around getting better prices. You know, could be the raw material, could be your first cooperation attempt. What else? It usually always helps. It usually always helps. When a supplier is really stubborn, don't just email or Skype him. Really, or Skype chat, but really call him. You know, say, and you know, sometimes I beg with the supplier. I'm like, I'm on the phone with him for like 10-15 minutes until he gives in. You know, I'm just like,
Are you speaking Mandarin with him at that point or English?
Well, my Mandarin is not good enough to be really communicating in business language, but I speak English with him, but I probably throw in a couple of Chinese words here and there. But you know, if you're long enough on the phone with him and you stop and you're stubborn as well, they'll be eventually, okay, either I'll check with my boss again, or okay, we can give you another 5%. You know, they just want to get rid of you because you're so annoying.
So it's almost just persistence and actually picking up the phone or calling them, right?
Yes. Phone, actually calling them always helps. You know, by email, they can hide behind their computer screen. But if you're on the phone with him, he can't really hide anywhere. You know, he has to respond to your questions, or, you know, to your annoyance or beggings.
So you know what's going to happen? Next time I talk to one of my suppliers, I'm going to say that we're going to hash this out over the phone, and I'm not hanging up until I get a better price, right?
Exactly. No, I actually flew to a supplier once to negotiate a price for a buyer. Actually, it was not a price. It was a claim, so I had to get money for the buyer. So I actually flew to Ningbo. It's a 2.5-hour flight from Hong Kong, and I sat in the supplier's office all day until he actually gave in, paying the claim to the customer, which was $20,000. Then, so it was a big amount of money. But you know, if you're persistent enough, they give in.
Hey, that's awesome. That's a great tip. Now I know people talk a lot about this as far as like just getting a sourcing agent involved to kind of take care of all that, because they have all the contacts and the relations. And, you know, sometimes you can, if you're kind of just getting started, you could almost just pay somebody else to do all the legwork for you. Is that something you recommend people doing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's a product that that is difficult to find online, it makes sense to hire someone who has experience, or who has a wide network or a large contact base of different suppliers or even trading companies.
So what if you could just maybe just tell the listeners out there, maybe just explain what a sourcing agent does, just so they know.
Well, sourcing agent essentially does, well, for example, I do sourcing for a lot of my clients. We have a sourcing service also on my site. What I do is I gather all the information the buyer wants to look into, for example, target order quantity, target price. I want to know what kind of packaging does he wants to have. Is there any quality requirement or testing certification needed? And then I'll take this information, and then I look into my network and reach out to people that I think could have the product if they don't have it already. And usually sourcing companies work only with suppliers that they have been working with for a long time, or that they have visited, or that they have placed the order to. So, for example, what I don't do is, if you give me a sourcing inquiry, I don't go on Alibaba and look it up for you, because anyone could do that. What sourcing companies do, they reach out into their network, into their contacts, to, you know, get the product that you really want from a factory that exists, from a factory that has been vetted and checked on their background. And essentially, yeah, you'll try to get the prices that the supplier wants. You still have to check with the buyers also sometimes, you know, to be reasonable on their instructions. I mean, if you're, for example, looking for 200 pieces, it's probably not worth it to hire a sourcing company, because the money is just it's simply not worth it. But sure, if you're looking into larger quantities, like 1,000 pieces, or let's say 800 pieces at minimum, and you're happy, for example, with a white box, you don't need a color box, it does make sense to hire a sourcing company. But if you're only looking for really small quantities, I recommend to do the job yourself. Otherwise, you destroy your margin, your profit margin.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. For anybody listening out there, I don't know if you really kind of just caught that, but if you're just kind of getting started and kicking the tires, and maybe you just want to test with 200 units of something just to see if it works, just to see if the concept works, it's probably something you want to do on your own and just have that experience. But maybe as you start to grow and scale up and you want to automate and outsource things, then you may want to seek the services of a sourcing agent to kind of handle a lot of those things for you. Is that what you're kind of saying, Manuel?
Exactly true.
Okay. Exactly. Now, I just want to move along to like inspections here. So, you know, That's kind of a common thing that people think, okay, do I have to get an inspection? Is it worth the money? I mean, what are your take? What's your take on getting inspections? Now, I know your products that you primarily source are electronics. So I remember you telling me that it makes absolute sense because there's just so many things that can go wrong with an electronic item. So it's almost like a given that you're going to get an inspection every single time. But if somebody's out there and they're not doing something electronic, and it's a pretty basic item, let's say, do you recommend that they get an inspection 100% of the time, or are there kind of some different ways around that?
Always 100%. No matter if you're importing a mouse pad, if you're importing tissues, if you're importing an electronic product, always get an inspection. You don't know you've been talking to the person, which is like, 6,000-7,000 miles away, but you don't really know him, and you have no control over what his workers are doing. He may be doing his best job, and he may be promising you everything, but, you know, there's so many hierarchies down the line in the factory. Like, he has to communicate all your requirements to the people at the mass production. He has to talk to his engineers, he has to talk to sample teams. I'm sorry to say, but the people that are assembling your product, that are working in the mass production, is there's a very low education level at that stage, and so many things could go wrong, you know. So please always have an inspection. There are services out there doing it for $100. You don't have to get the most expensive one. But even if you only have, let's say, an order amount of $1,000, please get an inspection for $100. That's only 10%, and 10% of quality control costs is definitely worth it. Imagine you get your products into a prepping company in the U.S. and they have to rework everything, or imagine you send it to yourself and the insert card is missing, or the packaging or the carton that they used is complete rubbish. It's completely different to what you actually asked them to do. So an inspection company really is there, is your safety net. And you don't want to send the entire 100% of payment to the supplier before you inspect the goods. So it's also sort of a safety net. Let's say you have an inspection and the result is fail. The supplier doesn't get any money until he hasn't reworked my entire order. There are cases where I can accept small problems, but you know, if there's a bigger problem, I'm not going to transfer him the rest of the money until he has reworked it. So inspection is not just to make sure it's really made according to your requirements, but it's also there to protect at least, let's say, 70% of the rest of your money, you know.
Excellent. Yeah. So for everybody listening out there, don't avoid it. Just if you can find a good deal on it. And I can see, if you go to Alibaba, I think there's a lot of specials and promotions that they run with inspections sometimes, and you can try them out there for relatively low prices, I know, and at least have that safety net, like you kind of mentioned. So, I wanted to ask you this. A lot of people selling on Amazon, you know, people are from all over the world, right? They're not necessarily just in the United States. They're in Canada. They're in Europe. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. And a lot of times people never really get to touch and feel their product, right? Like they see their samples, so on and so forth, but they're dealing with the factory and they want it then shipped directly to the Amazon warehouses in the United States, if that's the market that they're going after. What does that look like? Like, if you have a supplier that, let's just say, they don't really have many shipping options available, or they're just kind of new and getting started, and they're kind of looking at you going, well, we'll make the stuff for you, but beyond that, it's kind of up to you to get it to Amazon or wherever you want. Like, how do people do that? Like, what do they do if their factory or supplier that they're working with just isn't really full featured in dealing with the shipping? And like, how does somebody get it to Amazon in the United States? Like, what does that look like?
Very good question. I was just recently discussing that also. If you don't really have a forwarder, if you want to ship to Amazon directly, let me just give you the process in a nutshell. You need to instruct your supplier early on that you'll be shipping to Amazon's warehouse and you need prepping and labeling. So there will be logos and stickers that you need to give to the supplier, and just tell him this right in the beginning. If he's not willing to do that, for free. Maybe he charges a little bit, but if he's not willing to do it at all, move on to the next supplier. Try to work with a supplier who is aware of your requirements and who's willing to do so. Otherwise, you have problems in the end. Then make sure that your box sizes and your carton sizes are really up to Amazon's packaging requirements. Instruct the supplier that you have different kind of labels, like you have the FNSKU barcode, and you have shipping labels, and those need to go onto the gift box, but also onto the export carton. The next thing is you want to work with a forwarder. Now, if your supplier doesn't have anyone, or if he doesn't really provide you anyone, or he has no clue how to do it, find a forwarder there. Also, if you just go on Alibaba, if you type in logistics company or forwarding company, you'll find hundreds of them. And I just recommend, if you don't really have anyone, look at the top 5 to 10 results, email all of them, tell them that you want to ship directly to Amazon. Have they done this before? Can you help me? And if they can, if they have experience, go with them and compare the prices. Now, most important, again, once you have all the labeling done, have an inspection to make sure that the labeling and the packaging requirement is really according to Amazon's requirements, so that when you send in the goods, that they will actually be accepted by Amazon, and that you don't have to pay anyone to label for you. And also, you don't want to send it to a prepping company somewhere in the US to pay extra money. You want this all done in China for a much lower labor cost. And also very important is never put Amazon as the importer of record on any shipping documents. Amazon can be the ultimate consignee, but never the importer of record. So let your forwarder help you with the documentation. Let him help you with issuing the invoices, and they need to make an appointment with Amazon when they deliver to Amazon, and they need to tell them, look, we've got, 50 cartons coming in, or we've got 2 pallets coming in. So find a forwarder who really has worked with Amazon before.
Yeah, so that's just a good recommendation, right? Like if you have a supply, because I've dealt with actually suppliers that have told me kind of flat out, look, we don't get too involved once the production is done. We can kind of help you a little bit, but I've also had suppliers and factories that are pretty full featured and full service where they'll do anything you need them to do. They have those connections and things like that. So what you're saying is that, let's say I live in, you know, some random country and I want to get my stuff to Amazon and I'm a little bit unsure and my supplier is a little bit unsure, just find a freight forwarder on Alibaba or by Googling probably, and just speak with them and ask them or tell them what you want to do and have them kind of just tell you if it can be done or not, right?
Exactly, yeah. Try to, if your supplier has experience, if he's helping you anyway, great. If not, find someone on Alibaba or reach out to me if any of the leaders needs a direct person, a direct contact to a good forwarder, they can reach out to me as well.
Excellent. Be careful what you ask for there. You might be getting your messages blown up. Lord knows I do every now and again, right? So
no problem.
Here's a question for you. So I know you're currently selling on Amazon, right?
Correct.
Okay. So somebody just kind of getting started, what advice would you give somebody? Maybe they have a product out or they're going to be getting their first product up and going in the very near future. What advice would you have for somebody that's just starting to sell on Amazon?
Try to find do you mean has he picked the product already or has he not? He's just looking into it.
Maybe they haven't even picked the product yet, but they want to sell something on Amazon.
Right. Try to find a niche that you're really passionate about. For example, my newest product will be in the let's say coffee area. I love coffee, so I have a passion for coffee. But I also have products, for example, in the sports and fitness category, because I love being outdoors. I love going hiking. I love the gym, like swimming. So I have passion about these products. You know, I can identify myself with these items. Also, because I have nearly 17 years of experience with electronics, I have. Well, not really passionate about electronics, but I have a lot of knowledge about them. So pick a product that you have a passion about. Pick a product that you're really comfortable and confident dealing with. Because if you're trying to sell a Bluetooth smartwatch on Amazon and you have no clue about the functions or what the product really can do, it's not really the best way to go.
I'm really excited that you mentioned the passion thing. That's something that I pretty much drive home virtually every episode on the Private Labeler Show. I talk about, you know, getting involved in products and brands that you're passionate about, because it's going to be kind of a long-term play for you, and you're going to be excited about it 2, 3, 4 years down the road versus just some random product that you don't have a connection to. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that for the audience.
Absolutely. And you've said it again. I mean, why would I want to sell a product that I have no interest in at all? And probably, maybe it's just a fluke or something, but I want to have a product set up that is good to go and that is good in the long run. You know, I want to have nice photos done. I want to have a nice bullet. I want to have nice bullet points and the product description. I want to set up the listing and the product for good, you know. I don't want it to be a one-time hit wonder. Well, that also would be nice if it makes a lot of money, but I kind of want to have a product that's really set up in the long run.
That's awesome.
So look for passion products, yeah.
I'm kind of wrapping up just the general questions here before we move on to things that you got going on. You worked and talked with a lot of people that are selling on Amazon. You have your Import Dojo Facebook group. You do a little bit of coaching. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what are some of the biggest mistakes or the biggest mistake that you see people make in when it comes to private labeling, importing Amazon? Like, what's the number one thing that you would say that you see that, you know, you want to kind of talk about here?
Number one thing would be no inspection. That's the number one thing. Number two would be people jump into it. And I do agree, you need to take action. You shouldn't get caught up in paralysis analysis, but you should be doing your research at least. Not just only about the product, but also about the industry. You know, how does the whole process work? How do I get my products from China to my warehouse? Or how do I go on, you know, communicating with people overseas, with people in China? How do I negotiate prices? I mean, have a general understanding of the process. I know there's lots of people out there just saying, just take action, you know, go for it. And it is learning by doing, definitely. But understand the process, you know, maybe read a 30, 40 pages book about importing from China. You can get one for free on my page. Sorry for the pitch here.
But, oh, no, that's, you know, coming. You'll be able to do a lot of that in a second here.
No, just, you know, inform yourself about the process in China and how the industry really works. Have control mechanisms like the inspection. Be a pain in the ass with your supplier when he doesn't give you the information that you want. Be annoying.
Treat it like a business, right? Like it means something.
Treat it like a business, exactly. And don't be shy of investing a bit of money. I know a lot of people complain about sample costs. For example, I have a very small product and all of a sudden supplier charges me $150 for sample shipment, you know. That's also, they're trying to protect themselves, you know. Very often buyers ask for free samples, so they give out a lot of free samples in the past, and that costs a lot of money. So don't be shy to invest a bit of money in the sample or in inspection, or maybe even sending a third party company to audit the factory that you want to work with. If you're not sure about the process, hire maybe a sourcing company or hire an expert, or at least do due diligence on learning the process yourself. And then take action, okay. I guess. That's it, yeah.
It's good stuff there. It's good stuff. And a quick thing about the samples, in case people didn't realize it, a lot of times when you are getting samples, and let's say you do decide to work with that supplier, those sample prices, they'll actually refund you on the cost of everything if you negotiate that, or sometimes they even offer. I've you know, experienced that as well. So, you know, if you see, oh, I have to spend $100 and some odd on a sample, well, if you do end up going with that supplier, don't worry, because you can get that money back if you negotiate that, or if they sometimes, like I said, they'll bring it up.
Exactly. Good point.
So here's a little bit of promotion time. I know you're a very busy person, and you know, I really greatly appreciate you being here. You have a lot going on right now, and one of those things I know you have going on in April is you're going to be at some speaking events in, where is it, China, Hong Kong area. At, are you going to be at the Canton Fair, or what expos are you going to be at?
I just actually had a look at my schedule. I've put it in an Excel file already. I won't be off any day from April 10th until 4th of May, so I'll be somewhere every day. In beginning of April, I'll just be at the electronic show in Hong Kong at the HKTDC. I'll also go to the Global Sources electronic show. Then I'll be at the Canton Fair Phase 1 on 15th of April. Then there is a summit with a couple of sellers in Shenzhen. Moving on 17th of April, I'm at the Global Sources show as a speaker, as you just mentioned. There's a workshop that Global Sources organized where a lot of Amazon sellers will be, so I'll be speaking there. I have a couple of buyers coming. I'll be at more shows in Hong Kong, at the Houseware show, there's another consumer electronics show, and then I'll be at Canton Fair Phase 2. Then there's a fashion show in Hong Kong. Then there's Canton Fair Phase 3, gifts and premium shows. So yeah, pretty much everywhere.
This man is working, everybody. So if anybody's listening to this, this is going to be released probably in a few days here in mid-March, in April, if you are headed out to any of those events. I know a lot of Amazon sellers are. If you're listening to this, make sure you stop in and say hello to Manuel, shake his hand, and just chat with him if he's got a minute. It seems like he's obviously a really busy person. So it's really exciting for you. And I guess if you're involved in the Amazon game, that's where everybody's going to be, right?
Hope so. Definitely. I have time. If anyone's is around, drop me a message. I can't promise a lot, but I'll definitely have time for some coffee.
Awesome. And then I'm a part of your Import Dojo group, and in the Facebook group recently, you kind of put out a teaser video that I wanted to talk about for a quick second. And are you revamping your course? And I know you're doing a case study, which sounds really awesome. But are you also doing that with like a revamp of your course, or can you tell us and the listeners what you're kind of working on?
Happy to elaborate. When you joined, I think, when did you join? I think sometime in summer last year.
Yeah, about a year ago.
I had about 3 modules in there. Basically, negotiation tactics in China, business in China, and also FBA for beginners. So I've been working on a case study since November last year. I placed an order to a factory. I've documented the entire thing with video and screencasts, how I communicate with the suppliers, how I communicate with inspection companies, forwarding companies. You'll get the contacts of everyone. I actually reveal my products. I reveal all my sources, my forwarding companies and inspections. And I ship the product to Amazon. And I actually have I'm revealing my launch strategy. I'm giving you access to how I promote my product on Amazon, which tools I use, which tools work, which tools doesn't work, and it's actually being inspected today. So in 4 days from now, it's being shipped to Amazon. So it was a 5-month project, and I'm wrapping it up. It'll be completed when the product gets to Amazon, and then I'll still add some more lectures, but I'll be putting it as a new module into my course on the site on 23rd of March. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you're completely kind of taking the curtain back and peeling it back and showing somebody step A to Z on everything, the entire process, right? How to get it started and how to finish it off and get it on Amazon, right?
Correct. Every little step and everything in between. Difficult decisions with the suppliers, or deciding between sea and air shipment, evaluating offers, checking certificates, background check of suppliers, and a lot more. It's over 50 video tutorials. It's really, like you said, look behind the curtains, look over my shoulder.
That's super exciting. I'm like, just want to tell the audience, yes, I am a member of the Import Dojo. So if that excites you and you're kind of just kicking around or kicking some tires on the Amazon game, wanting to start private labeling, want to start talking to suppliers, or even if maybe you have a product or two underneath your belt already, but you're just still not really having the success that you desire, check out, was it importdojo.com, right, Manuel?
That's right. And there's a header saying Import Dojo Masterclass. And what you see on there now is still the old information, but I'm reworking that page as we speak, and it will be up on March 22nd, 23rd, actually. But you've got the background info already, and maybe by the time you post the podcast, it'll be already live. Not sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put all the definite links to everything to the site, everybody. So if you're listening to this right now, if you go on importdojo.com, it sounds like it's going to revamp and change, and sounds like Manuel's been working super hard to add amazing content. So my recommendation is, yeah, if you're just getting started in this and you want somebody to kind of walk you through everything, you'd actually see it, this, you know, Import Dojo course and masterclass would definitely be something you're interested in doing. And I know from experience, anytime I have a question about something I'm unsure of, I mean, it could be from me messaging you about hijackers or just different supplier questions or inspection questions. I know that Manuel has, you know, definitely been one of the most helpful people in the entire importing and Amazon community and private label community. So, you guys can be assured that he is a great resource. You just kind of heard a little bit about his experiences, and I can't hype you enough, man. I really appreciate you coming on today. And I know you've been working hard, and you're like I said, one of the most helpful people I've ever encountered when it comes to just helping, you know, people like myself or others in the Amazon game. So thank you so much.
No problem. Happy, happy to have you. Happy to have you in the group. Also, you know, for me, it's not just about actually Import Dojo is not really making me money, but it's helping me build a community of sellers. We help each other. You know, we grow a network. We meet up in China, we meet up wherever, and it's really, you know, I benefit as well from the community. I get the knowledge, and that's what it's all about. So, yeah, always happy to help other people, even cool. You, after some time, always happy to catch up.
Yeah, definitely. And you've actually met up with a few of your members, right, in China somewhere, right?
I did, and I will in the next couple of weeks. I think I have about 25 people here that I'll be meeting up at least for a coffee. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. Any last words of advice or anything else you want to mention? We're kind of running short on time here, but just kind of throw it out there if you want to throw anything else out there. If not,
I'm good. Just okay. Wishing you a good weekend also, and looking forward to more discussions in the future, and also be happy to come on for another time on the podcast if you want.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we'll do something after you kind of relaunch and you kind of, you know, work out the bells and whistles of everything and all your, maybe you have some success stories with some of your students you want to share, things like that, that we can, you know, share with my audience as well. So sounds like a plan. We'll look into doing that in the near future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Nick.
All right. Thank you for being on. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you and talk soon.